book, and looking forward to that. I've enjoyed it. Hope it's been a help to you. James chapter 5, and we're going to read a few verses here this evening. James chapter 5, verse number 13. James chapter 5 and verse number 13, and we'll read all the way down to verse number 18 and see how far we get tonight. And there's, as you notice, as you read through Scripture, there, you know, God kind of puts a series of thoughts together. Sometimes it's for a chapter. Sometimes in Proverbs, it's you know, kind of a shotgun. It's one verse and it seems to change. And God has given us a couple of themes here. And the last lesson here, the last message was about patience and a couple areas of patience that we need to have in our lives. And we didn't learn about patience, so we just skipped over that subject. Now we should learn about patience, that endurance. And then now is the subject of prayer. And as we come tonight, and I was thinking about that as I prepared, and we're getting ready tonight, and as we have our Wednesday night Bible study and prayer time, and how important prayer is for a Christian. And in James chapter 5, verse number 13, look at all the times that the Lord emphasizes the subject of prayer as we read these verses. And I encourage you, as God speaks to you, as you read God's Word, have a pen and write a thought next to there, or circle or underline, and as God puts a repetition there, and I want to encourage you to circle or underline that as you go through it. James 5, verse number 13, it says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. As we look at this passage here, I believe it's 7 times over these number of verses here that the Bible references the subject of prayer. Can you ever pray too much? You can't, right? There's a couple of those things that, as a Christian, that you can never do enough, and prayer is one of those subjects that I think most of us could say, "Lord, I know that I should be praying more than I am." Why? Because every need is a prayer need. Every need, everything we face, every decision, every problem, everything we face in life is a prayer need. And it's a need to bring before God. Thinking about this and the subject of prayer as we begin, but prayer is coming before God's throne. It's getting a hold of the ear of God and getting a hold of the power of God. How foolish would it be as Christians to have needs and never go to God? And we, many times when we have needs, we go and talk to everyone else about them, but we fail to talk to God about the needs that we have. As we begin the message this evening, it starts here in verse number 13. It says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." This word afflicted is about hardships, troubles, suffering. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hand, but I believe if we did, every hand would go up, that everyone has some kind of hardship, some kind of suffering, some kind of trial, or some kind of need. Everybody does. Every workplace, every family, everyone personally, whether it's a health need, a decision, a family issue, a monetary issue, everyone has prayer needs. Everyone does. And the Bible says, "Any among you afflicted, let him pray." Sometimes in the Bible, and you think about that as Jesus, during his earthly ministry, Jesus asked a lot of questions. Did he ask questions because he didn't know the answers? No, because he wanted people to think about what he was asking them. And God says, "Here is any among you afflicted, let him pray." And we all have hardships. Everyone came tonight with some kind of a burden. Everyone came with some kind of a need, an issue. Maybe there's something that gets your mind off of it for a while, but maybe you go to bed with that need on your heart and on your mind, and you're praying for family, praying for your children, your spouse, that situation coming up tomorrow, the decision you have to make. And everyone has needs in their lives. But as we look at this tonight, the title of the message is Problems, Prayer, and Praise. And the Lord gave us the outline here in the passage here, but it says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." Anyone have a problem? Bring it to the Lord in prayer. And there again, there is nothing too small that God doesn't want to have his children come and talk to him about it. There's nothing too small, nothing too big that God doesn't want to have his children come to him and open your heart and say, God, I have a burden tonight. I have a worry tonight. I have a need tonight, and I want to talk to you about it. And God is always willing and able to hear about our problems. I'll be honest, sometimes there's people that they're always about their problems. And when they call you, text you, and come around, you're like, Lord, help me to care about their problems. And some people are just always about their problems. Don't be that person. Everyone has a need, but we don't have to share the burden of our life on everyone we see every time, right? Amen to that one. But we all have problems. But bring it to the Lord in prayer. Bring it to God. Again, many times we bring our problems, our needs to everyone. Some people wear them on their shoulders and someone tuck them in tight and they're not going to tell or share it with anybody. But everyone has problems. So is any among you afflicted? You have hardships, trouble, suffering? Let him pray. And then it continues on. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. And then it says in the next verse, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and they shall pray over him, anointing him. So is anyone afflicted? Have hardships? Well, yeah, everyone has some kind of hardships. Is anyone sick? I don't know about you, but I know a whole lot of people. We mentioned a number tonight that have sickness, illness of some sort. And the Bible says, what do you do when you're going through hardships? Pray. What do you do when you have sickness? Well, we should pray over that as well and pray. Praying over the sick. And then you continue on down to verse number 16. Or verse number 15, it says that the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, this shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. And then thirdly, we have the not only the problems of hardships, of sickness, but of sin. And it says, when you have sin, what should you do when we have sin in our lives? We should pray and bring that before the Lord. What is God trying to see at first? That we have a problem. Think about that in regards to salvation. If you don't realize that you're a sinner on your way to hell, you can't be saved. If you can't admit there's a problem, you can't trust in Christ as your Savior. You have no need for Christ if you can make it on your own. If your religion is good on your own, you have to admit that there's a problem, that there's a need. And in our life, if we can realize, God, this burden, this sickness, this hardship, this fault, this sin, it's too big for me, I need to bring it before you. If we can admit in our lives that we're not as strong as we think we are, we're not as capable as we think we are, and if we would go to God as a child and say, God, I need your help today. I need your wisdom today. I need your direction today. I need healing today. And we would bring those before God. Have you noticed that everyone is going through some kind of heartache and some kind of suffering? I think it's a reminder also that we're all going through something individually. But remember this, that people around you are going through something as well. Sometimes we can get so focused on ourselves, right? Why? Because it's personal to you. You go home with that and you live with that on a regular basis. But remembering this, that not only do you have problems and needs, but others around you do as well. And may we not get so focused on ourselves that we don't look at the needs of others, the problems of others. That brings us to the next point. First of all, we realize that we have a problem that should bring us to God in prayer as a child of God, right? Our problems should bring us closer to God, our trials, our sufferings. Not only do we see the problems, but we see the prayer. And again, as we looked at it a number of times, and we're going to go through a bit of this point by point. And it says in verse number 13, is any among you afflicted? And it says, let him pray. God puts every word in the Bible exactly and on purpose, right? Every word just right on time. And he says, if for those that are sick, the Bible says, let him pray. You ever had that person that says, I'm going through a big trial in my life. Would you pray for me? I've heard preachers say this before. I won't pray for you, but I'll pray with you. Sometimes we think, well, I've got a need, but I want you to pray for it. Well, here's the thing. We should be praying for that together. Not just saying, no, it's your burden. That's your duty. You know, here's the thing. As a Christian, one of the greatest things about being a Christian is you equally have direct access to God as any other Christian. Amen? That we all can talk to God. And so before you think that someone has God's ear better than you, or that God hears their prayers and not yours, that's wrong. The Bible says if you're sick, the Bible says let him pray. If you have a prayer need, you should be praying for that, right? We want to bring those and we should pray for them together, amen? But first of all, that's a prayer need that you need to bring before the Lord. And we see the subject of prayer, there needs to be individual prayer time. We have collective prayer here as a church, and I enjoy that prayer time, getting to pray with others and pray for the needs of others. But there should be individual prayer time a whole lot more than there's collective prayer time. I love praying with others, but your time alone with God in your Bible and prayer time is the most precious and important part of the day. And when you have your needs and you cry out to God, and God hears you, and we should individually have that time with God. I don't know if you realized it, but life gets busy sometimes. I was kind of laughing last week. I was listening to Brother Sammy preaching, and he was talking about, sometimes wanting to get up extra early to do whatever you need to. But he says, but somehow the kids figure out that you're going to get up early, so they decide to get up early too. And then the plans that you had of that alone, quiet time, or whatever you needed, well, that's out the window now, right? Because kids have needs. Mommy, Daddy, I need your help, right? But that individual time with God is so important that you try to put everything on pause, electronics, whatever it is, try to get alone and maybe literally lock yourself in the closet, close the door, and pray and spend time with God. The Bible says, if you're afflicted, let him pray. Let him pray. And so, first of all, we see individual prayer. And I'm thankful that God hears the prayer of each individual person. But then next, we see collective prayer. And it continues on in verse number 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So first, that prayer need you have, it should start with you. That you would bring that before God in prayer. But then secondly, it says bring it before the elders of the church. We have some people that they go through difficulty, and I understand not every prayer need should be shared publicly. We do prayer time in teen class, and that's always an eventful time. And sometimes they share too much, and I many times try to preface teen prayer time with, there's something called a special need or an unspoken need, because I don't want to hear all the details of the stuff that is personal to you, and maybe everyone else doesn't hear that as well. That might need to be a one-on-one thing maybe, but there's collective prayer where we take our needs and we say, I want you to pray for that. You have some people, though, that have a prayer need, but they don't tell anyone about it. They go to the hospital and have surgery, and they get home, and they're recovering, and it's been weeks, and you find out, and you're like, if you told us, we could have prayed for you. They're like, I don't want anybody to know. Well, here's the thing. I know it may be personal, but let people pray for you, right? Let people pray for you. Praying for each other is a biblical pattern to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And we can partner together in prayer. You ever think about it sometimes that someone's going through a difficulty and you think, I can't do anything for them? You know, you ever think that? Well, they don't, you know, need a meal or help or something in the yard or drive them somewhere. You think, they won't let me do anything or they don't need anything. And you think, I can't do anything. And then you stop and think, oh, but I can pray for them. Too many times we think, well, I can only pray. Well, how sad is that as a Christian? If we think, I can only pray for them, or I can have the most important part to help them. And that's the avenue of prayer. So we see collective prayer. In Matthew chapter 18, would you turn there for a moment, please, in your Bibles, please. Matthew 18 and verse number 18. Collective prayer, praying for one another. Matthew 18, the Bible says in verse number 18, it says, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And when we come together in prayer, that there's power in collective prayer, praying together as a church, praying together as a family, praying together in a school or whatever, that you'd stop. I love it when there's times that nationally we have times of prayer. I remember that being in Bible college, and 9/11 had just hit. That wasn't the great part of it, but I remember, I believe it was the next day or so that the nation shut down, and everyone went somewhere to pray. And we walked from the college over to the church before the auditorium had moved, and we walked all the way over there, and we all stopped in there and prayed together. And I thought, it's great to get to pray as a church, but I thought as a nation that we'd pray together. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then what? Will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. That we pray collectively together. It's important to pray. May we never come to an issue in our lives and think, well, that's beyond prayer. They're beyond prayer. I mean, they couldn't get saved. They couldn't be healed. God couldn't change that. Do you believe that God can do anything? Amen? Amen? And there's power in prayer, and that we pray together over the needs that God brings before us. The church came together in prayer for Peter when he was in prison, and they spent time together in prayer and prayed that he be delivered. And their prayer of faith was so great that when they heard a knock on the door and Peter showed up, they're like, go away, leave us alone, we're praying for Peter. And he's like, I'm right here. And Rhoda comes and answers the door. Isn't that how our prayer life is sometimes? That we get shocked that God answers our prayers? We should expect it, shouldn't we? We should expect that God's going to answer our prayers, and that's that prayer of faith. And then that next we see that goes along with that answered prayer. In verse number 15, it says, in the prayer of faith, look at the next few words, shall save the sick. Aren't you thankful for answered prayer? Wouldn't it be discouraging if all you did was you prayed and prayed and prayed and you never saw an answer to prayer? Well, you probably wouldn't keep praying, would you? What would be the point? If you prayed and there was never an answer, never heard from God, never direction, healing, nothing. But isn't it great when you pray and God shows you exactly what you need to do? Isn't that great? And that God answers your prayer? Remember answered prayer in your life. So the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. That's the promise of answered prayer. Remember this, that answered prayer is in God's timing. It's in God's will and God's way. Many times we pray and we say, God, I want it done on this time. And God said, well, I have my own timing. Well, God, I want it done this way. And God says, well, I have my own plan. Stop trying to get God on your timing and your plan. And you submit yourself to God in prayer. And you say, God, I want this. I'm going to ask for you to do this, but in your timing and in your way. Sometimes when we don't get the answer to prayer that we get, you can, first of all, say, well, I quit on prayer. Or you get angry at God and say, God, I asked for this and you didn't answer it. Now, God gave you an answer. It just may not have been the answer that you and I wanted, right? So I'm thankful for answered prayer. And then you see healing from this. And God said, He shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. We see healing, physical healing, but then also we see spiritually. And it says, and if he have committed sins, in verse number 15, they shall be forgiven him. Aren't you thankful for forgiveness of God? Amen? That God forgives. And confession and repentance and forgiveness is a huge part of our prayer time. It should be, right? Many times we go to God and say, God, I need. And we do have needs, right? But instead, that we should come to God with a clean heart and clean hands and a clean life. And we get forgiveness. Why? Because God says he cannot hear the prayer of the wicked. Our sins have separated us from God. Sometimes that sin is built up so much, kind of like, if you will, that rust builds up on a tool and it's not working anymore, and you got to clean that off. You got to scrape it off or soak it and clean it so it's usable again. And too many times in our life, we get so much buildup and we've got to confess our sin and say, okay, then God said, okay, now I hear your prayer. Now I can answer and help you with your need. I'm thankful for answered prayer. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, what's the next few words? And I what? Will answer thee. I will, that's a promise. He said, you call unto me, I will answer thee. Not a question, not a hope. So he said, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God can still do wonders and miracles. Amen? The God of the Bible that parts the sea and raised the dead and healed, God can do anything. And may we never forget about answered prayer. The Bible says in Matthew 7:7, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. Too many times we do this. We go to God in prayer and say, God, would you help them? And then God didn't answer the first time, and so we said, oh, okay, never mind. And we forget about it. May we continually go to God in prayer. Ask, seek, and knock, and God will answer. So we say answered prayer now, but then we see prayer for others. In James chapter 5, verse number 16, the Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. To pray for one another. We talked about that a little bit earlier, but to pray for one another. Again, we all have personal prayer needs. But our prayer time shouldn't just consist of praying for me and all the needs that I have. I hope you go through the church directory and you pray for the needs of others in the church. That you call the prayer line and you get prayer needs for others. Some of them that are updated daily, whether it be a missionary, a member for prayer, or new needs, and praying for others. That's why our Wednesday night Bible study and prayer time is so important. That we can bring our prayer needs to each other. And that we'd not pray for each other just here, although that's great. But may we take those and take them home and pray. I mentioned it before a while ago, but don't you appreciate it when someone says, I'll pray for you about that. And then they actually do it. Sometimes the biggest lies that Christians say is, I'll pray for that with you. And then we don't do it, right? You ever been guilty of that? I won't have you raise your hand in church and do that. But you're like, I'll pray for you. And then a week passed or a month passed, and you went, oh, I forgot to pray with them about that. I try to, if someone asked me to pray about it, I said, I'll pray for you. I try to pray for it right then. And I try to remember that later as well, but try to right away pray for them so that you don't have to lie about praying. That's probably a bad thing to do, right? Kind of like stealing a Bible. Like, you can't steal a Bible. Like, you know, you can't lie about praying, steal a Bible. I'm not sure what else. We won't continue on from there. But praying for one another. You know, how do you remember to pray for others? Kind of like how you remember how to do anything. You got to write it down somewhere. I don't know about you, but do you ever trust your memory and your memory fails you? You ever do that? You're like, I'm going to do this today. And the day got done, you're like, I forgot to do that and I really needed to do it too. Like, it was important. Why? Because you didn't write it down somewhere. So write your prayer needs down, whether it be on your phone or a physical handwritten prayer list, but write down the needs of others and pray for others. Think about Peter speaking to Jesus, and Jesus told Peter, he said, I have prayed for thee. And Jesus even said, I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And I'm always encouraged when somebody says, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you every day. I'm praying for your church, for your family. And you know when someone says that, and you're like, I don't know if they really are. But then others are like, no, I'm praying for you. Just want to let you know I'm praying for you today. And I appreciate those texts or those calls or someone that says that. And you do too, right? So I'm praying for you about that need. Again, everyone has a need. And then about prayer, we see there needs to be perseverance in prayer. Perseverance in prayer. In James chapter 5, verse 17, it says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. This is Elijah before wicked King Ahab, and he said, I'm going to pray that it won't rain. Well, when it doesn't rain, you don't have any crops. So he was praying for a crop failure. That was going to hurt everybody. And he prayed, and God heard his prayer. But I want to look again at verse number 18. And Elijah prayed in verse 17, and God heard his prayer, amen? And he held back the rain. Now look at this. He didn't hold back the rain for a day, a week, a month, or even a year. By the space of 3 years and 6 months, it didn't rain at all. God heard his prayer, and guess what? Ahab knew it was Elijah. He knew it was his fault. It was his prayer that he held back the rain. But look at verse number 18. And it says, and he prayed again. Not only did God hear his prayer once, but God heard his prayer again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. There needs to be perseverance in our prayer. That we'd pray not just once, but we'd pray again and again and again and again. You have that prayer need you've been praying for years, for decades. That person that you've been praying for quite a long time, and it seems that nothing has changed. Don't give up praying. The Bible says he earnestly prayed. He earnestly prayed. In verse number 16, it says the effectual, fervent prayer. There should be some fervency to our prayer. You know, sometimes you ever do this with your kids and you say, would you pray? Thank you, Lord, for the food. Amen. I don't feel like there was a lot of like passion in that prayer, right? But then sometimes you get that simple prayer, you know, God, would you please? And they open up their heart. Earnestly, fervently praying. Perseverance in prayer. You say, but God hasn't answered yet. But it's not changed yet. There better be perseverance in our prayer that we don't quit, that we pray and pray again and pray and pray again. You think, well, but that was Elijah. I mean, that was an Old Testament prophet. That was Elijah that God answered his prayers. Well, look at verse number 17. Verse number 17 says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly. He was subject to like passions as we are, yet he prayed earnestly. Guess what? Elijah was a man. He was flesh and blood like any one of us. Think about that. Sometimes you think, well, if they pray, God's going to hear their prayer. But he couldn't do that for me. You know, if God can hear the prayer of one Christian, he can hear the prayer of another. Amen? You think, well, if you could get a hold of God, but I can't. He was subject, the Bible said, to like passions as we are. He was a man. I think about Elijah. He had the Mount Carmel experience, right? And he prayed down fire from heaven. Wouldn't you think after that, you'd think, prophets of Baal, Ahab, you better get away from me or I'm going to call fire down from heaven and God's going to destroy all of you. And mountaintop experience, what happened right after that? Jezebel said, we're going to kill you. And what did he do? He went and hid. And he said, God, would you take my life? And that great preacher and prophet that called fire down from heaven was in a cave saying, there's no one else living for God. He was a man just like you and me. You think, oh, ye of great faith. Guess what? Those of great faith have moments of great weakness as well, right? I think sometimes we look back in the Bible and we think, oh, they were a perfect Christian. There is no perfect Christian, right? Everyone has their failures, their struggles. You have your victories and your defeats. Maybe you think in human history, you think of the great heroes of the faith. Now, I will say there's certain people, when you hear them pray, you think, man, they just got a hold of God in just like a few words. And you think, wow, I want to get up around them when they pray. But God can hear your prayer just as much as anyone else. So we see the problem that brings us to prayer, the sickness, the sin, whatever it is that brings us to God in prayer, the affliction. But then we go to God in prayer. But then after that, I want to see something as we go back to verse 13. And we'll finish with this thought tonight. And it's the subject of praise. It says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. And then you get one little phrase in here that is kind of stuck in the middle of all the subject of prayer and of needs and getting a hold of God. And it says this, is any merry? Let him sing psalms. There is something, I believe, very connected to singing and praying, right? Something that's very connected to your heart. I feel like there is nothing that you can't get through in life without a song in your heart and a prayer on your lips, right? You can be going through the biggest struggles, and if you can spend time with God in prayer and get a song in your heart, God can help me with that. Amen? And God says, if is any merry, let him sing psalms. Is any merry? It's okay as a Christian to be happy. Amen? It's okay to sing. You ever driving down the street and that car gets up next to you? You know, the one that you feel like maybe an earthquake just happened, but it was the car with like either the worst sound system or the best sound system ever. And they pull up next to you and they're just blaring their music. Well, you know what I do? Well, I'm blaring my music too. First of all, like, I don't want to listen to the junk they have to say. And before I get it on, I'm like, you know, Jesus loves me. I don't want to hear the filth that comes out of there. How come the world can blare their music? They can blast it everywhere. They can sing it. But sometimes as a Christian, we think, I don't want to hear the world. I don't want the world hearing me sing. Why not? Right? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We should have a song in our heart and praise to our God. And guess what? People should hear it. I was convicted a while ago. It's been a few years back. I've been convicted since then, but on this specific subject, where the Bible says, speak unto yourselves in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I love that song, that we sing the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But it convicted me for this reason. When we're driving, we're always listening to good, godly Christian music, as you should as well. Amen? Good Christian music all the time. It's so uplifting, encouraging. But I was convicted by this thought. There's too many times where I'm listening to music and not singing myself. The Bible says here, speak unto yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, not just listening, but singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Why? God wants to hear you sing. You think, no one wants to hear me sing. Maybe no one down here wants to hear you sing, but God wants to hear you sing. Get alone in the car and sing. Get in the shower and sing. Get in the backyard and sing. Maybe go deep into the woods somewhere and sing. I don't know where it is. When you come to church, sing out. Amen? People around you should hear you. You think, I don't have a great voice. It doesn't matter. You don't have to have a great voice to sing, but it should come from our hearts to the Lord. If anyone has a reason to be merry and happy, it should be Christians. Amen? Smile. Get a song in your heart. Praise to your God. Is any merry? Well, we should be. Are you saved tonight? Amen? Right? On your way to heaven? Amen? You have a Bible. You have the Word of God and prayer, the Holy Spirit. We could go on and on and on. We have so many reasons to be merry, to be happy, because we're blessed, aren't we? And the Bible says, if you're merry, the Bible says, let him sing psalms. Sing to the Lord. God wants to hear you sing. And you sing, and you sing. I don't sing great. God wants to hear you sing. I enjoy coming to church to sing and having people sing out. Sing out. We were at the conference kind of giving Brother James a hard time. Everybody knows Brother James loves to sing out. And I love that. That's why he's trying to fire you up to get the service going. And we were at Pastor's Conference last week and we were singing. I was kind of giving Brother James a little nod and he was singing out. And I think everyone was hearing him. But that's great because people should hear you singing and praising God. Why? Because when you hear someone else singing, what does it make you want to do? Sing as well, right? It encourages others. When you come to church, sing. Sing with your family, and you should sing praise to your God. We should sing when you're happy. You should sing when you're sad. Why? There's times where you go through trials, and isn't there a song that helps you through that trial? There's been a few trials that God has brought us through in our life, and when there's a certain song that I hear, that was a song that helped me through that trial. You have that as well? That God gave you a song. God gave you a verse. God gave you something to help you with that. Paul and Silas, they were in the jail at Philippi. And at midnight, what did they do? They complained and they murmured and they threw things at the guards. No, what did they do? They sang praises to God. They were singing to God at midnight. Earthly speaking, they had no reason to sing and pray, did they? But spiritually speaking, they had every reason to pray and to sing and to sing before the Lord. Get a song in your heart. Get prayer on your lips. You know, that'll change your attitude in a moment. You're having a bad day. It's hard to have a bad day when you're praying, isn't it? Right? It's hard to have a bad day when you're singing. And you think, you know, I'm so happy and here's the reason why. You know, you can't do that very good. And God can take that spirit and turn it around. When Saul had a bad spirit, what did he do? He said, David, come and play for me. And that evil spirit left him. Unfortunately, evil spirit came back again a few times. But sing and pray. So we have problems. Everyone does. Bring it to God in prayer. Bring it to God in prayer. And then bring praise in your lips and sing before the Lord. Let's pray as we finish this service tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the night.